from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Tim Roy, and you're listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings, along with Matt Steinmetz today, Daryl the Guru Johnson, be back next week, taking his daughter to college.
I'm out.
Well, you're with us in spirit, Goo.
He did let me know that I got to give you a victory lap. So yesterday we were talking about the beauty of North Carolina, the rolling hills, and all the rest. And
sure.
You said, how beautiful could it be? It's humid. I texted Goo yesterday and said, how's Greensboro going, buddy? He goes, it's hot and humid. Damn it.
Yeah, it's a tough life back there in the East Coast. I got out of there.
It's a tough one here today.
Yeah. Alvin Attles, Warriors legend, passed last night at 87 years old. We heard from Chris Mullen earlier in the show, and hopefully during the course of the show, we'll be able to talk to some others who knew Al very well. In the meantime, we can mix in some other things. And here's one thing I was thinking, Evan, and you tell me what the difference is.
What's that?
All right. So when we talk about, and I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yes, you can.
I'm wondering how much I believe it, but to me, the analogy works. And here it is. You ready? We talk about the Warriors, okay? And they went 46-36 last year. And there's a general school of thought that had Draymond Green not gotten suspended, that'd be a 50-win team. Okay?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Fair enough. So I'm looking at this Giants squad, and I'm thinking, all right, they're 2 games over .500.
Yep.
They've got 2 pitchers who are absolutely lights out, Robbie Ray and Blake Snell.
Well, he was last night. Ray was.
Sure. I mean, why wouldn't a Giants fan think we're not far away? If we had these guys all year, if Snell had come into spring training, in better shape, if Robbie Ray had been healthy, which fingers crossed they will be next year, and they will be San Francisco Giants, throw in the Jung-Hoo Lee injury, I mean, they'd be right there, wouldn't they? They'd be. You telling me if Snell and Ray weren't healthy, that the Giants wouldn't be four games better? I think they might be.
If you played the game out on paper,
okay,
I'd agree with you. And I think it's the same thing that we're looking at fast-forwarding to the Warriors season, because there's been a lot of, I think, pretty positive things written about the Warriors and their decisions and personnel. And, you know, fans might not be happy with the fact that they haven't addressed, I don't know, their number two option or all the rest. But as far as the roster, what I've seen is an overwhelming amount of people that I believe are pretty smart when it comes to basketball writing about how the Warriors will be better this year on paper.
Right.
Last offseason for the San Francisco Giants, if we backtrack 6 months, everybody was talking about, myself included, this is a better team on paper than the one that floundered at the end of last season, finished a bit below 500, was coming off an 81-81 season. This is going to be different. And look, it's August 21st, and they're two games above 500. They're about a 500 team outside of two wins against the worst team in the history of baseball, in my opinion, the Chicago White Sox. So on paper, you got a point. But I think what holds people back and what holds someone like yourself back in regards to the Warriors is that when you watch it, you just don't see it.
Yeah.
You don't see it often enough. And when I'm looking at the Giants last night, I'm looking at their two-hole hitter, Lamont Wade Jr., who's played in 88 games and has hit four home runs. I'm looking at Michael Conforto, who's out in left field and he's hitting 238. I'm looking at Mike Yastrzemski, who's played 108 games this year and is giving you good defense, but he's hitting 240. You know, I'm looking at a lot of players that on paper should be better than they are. Then how come they ain't?
Timely hitting, some bullpen falter. But here's why I'm not.
But you're asking why they don't get the benefit of the doubt that the Warriors do.
Right. And here's what I'm wondering. So the one reason that I don't give the Giants the benefit of the doubt is the same reason I didn't give the Warriors the benefit of the doubt. And it's these numbers. The Warriors were 5-21 against the best teams in basketball, Western Conference. The Giants are 27-36 against teams above 500. And their schedule turns pretty tough coming up here pretty soon. So they're going to have to do something in the next month that they haven't really done at any point this season, and that is they need to win some games consistently against good teams. Can they do that? And can they do that now that Blake Snell and Robbie Ray are pitching extremely well? Is it possible? And I'm talking playoffs. They're what, 3.5 back now?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they've been flirting with the third wild card spot. It feels like more than a kid at a middle school dance. Like they've been right there for however long of the season. But you mentioned something about like Jung-Hoo Lee. Like there's been a lot of things that haven't gone right this season for the Giants. And look, at the beginning of the year, I didn't think that Snell would be as good as he was now at the beginning. He's the guy that warms up all the rest. But I also didn't foresee him getting hurt multiple times and not being even available to pitch. Like, what he's done in the last couple of months should have happened, ideally, a couple of months prior because he would be healthy. Well, he hasn't. Jung-Hoo Lee's been hurt. Well, when he got hurt, they were a 500 team. You know? And also, one of the positive consequences of that is, well, you got to see what you had with Ramos. You got to see, even to some extent, what you have with Matos. You got to see some of these younger players that have emerged, I think, because of the failure of the people or the injury of the people in front of them. I mean, if Blake Snell doesn't get hurt, I don't know if Hayden Birdsong gets called up. You know, they might try and keep Alex Cobb, who is going to perform however he's performing coming off of injury. I mean, to me, I think the thing that I wonder about is, yes, how the Giants are going to finish the season, but how people are going to look at them going into next year. Because a lot of the reasons we're, I think, positive about the Warriors are the same reason you could be positive about the Giants if they keep Snell, if they keep Chapman, if this happens, if that happens. Well, then they got action. Well, with Golden State, if Curry stays healthy, if the Anthony Melton looks like a dude for him, if Pajemski gets better, if Kuminga gets all, if the ifs and buts were candies and nuts, then the Warriors could be really good. To me, you're right that that same logic applies to the Giants. I'm just curious why people don't look at them the same.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering, too. Because even last year with the Warriors, when they were living all season at the number 7, the number 8, the number 9, the number 10, as they were mired in that all year long, I thought there were still a lot of Warrior fans that believed if this team could put it together, they could make a run. And that's the NBA, where we know it's brutal to try to make a run as an 8 seed. So here are the Giants having the same kind of year as the Warriors, and it's baseball, which to me means if you get in, you got a shot, way more of a shot than a team in the NBA that's a 7 or 8 seed. And so I do feel like the Giants have kind of become an afterthought. But at this same time, last year with the Warriors, it felt like people thought they did have action. I think that's a good question to ask. Why there seems to be pessimism around the Giants when the reality is they're not that bad. They're a couple games over. It's from the 510 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. The local media does their best to be super critical of the Giants and make it seem like they're underperforming and that the general manager doesn't spend money, etc. They could have informed takes, but it's easier to blame and probably gets better ratings to be negative. Maybe.
I also think it has to do with the star power on the team. You know, and we're going to find out more about the Warriors this year because one of those previous stars is no longer there. You know, when now that Klay Thompson is gone, there's one less familiar face on the roster. And there are not very many familiar faces on the San Francisco Giants. You know, their best players are free agents. Matt Chapman's been their best position player this year. He's never been a Giant before this season. And their best pitcher currently is Blake Snell, who's never been a Giant before this season. So even though they've gotten a couple free agents and a couple of guys that I think have played very well, or at least up to their standard as of late, it's nobody that has been around for as long and has accomplished as much as the Currys and the Draymonds, or even the Steve Kerrs for that matter. You know, I think people are a little hesitant about Bob Melvin, the way that they were hesitant about Gabe Kapler. They're obviously hesitant about the front office. I think we've seen some Warriors fans vocalize that they're kind of questioning Dunleavy a bit, but he hasn't done anything catastrophic yet. The issue with Farhan or the Giants in general is that they haven't really done anything. And even the one year that they did do something that was incredible, I don't know, for whatever reason, people just didn't believe in it. There wasn't enough staying power. And that's what we're finding out with the Giants is that they're largely the sum of their parts, which is about a 500 team. And they haven't played well against great teams.
Right.
They've won a couple series. I mean, heck, I know they just lost to three or four to the Braves, but they also beat them in Atlanta earlier this year. But they've largely beat up on the Chicago White Soxes. They've beat up on the Colorado Rockies. They've beat up on the Miami Marlins. You know, they haven't beaten teams that would give you reason to believe that they could beat someone if they get to October. And that's, I don't know, it's like they don't want to get hurt. You know, they don't want to get their hopes up.
I hear you. Chris A. from the YouTube chat. It's different. The Warriors have Steph, a superstar, and Dre and Clay were seasoned vets. The Giants have who? And the 925 on the Xfinity mobile text line. You can't compare the Giants to the Dubs. The Dubs still have a great player on their team. The Giants have nobody. All right. And I don't want to get into Steph. Of course, he's a great player, one of the greatest of all time. But my point is, like, he is 36. He's still a hell of a player. There's no doubt about it. But are you really telling me the difference is Steph Curry? Like, that is the difference. They have a top 10 or 15 player on their team still. capable of carrying them on certain nights, and the Giants don't have anybody like Steph Curry. I mean, is that what it boils down to? Because I think if that's the only reason, there's got to be more than just that.
Well, but let's rewind the clocks 3 years ago. A big reason why I did believe the Giants were a legitimately great team in 2021 was because of Buster Posey, who is still an incredible hitter. Brandon Crawford, who recently was released by the Cardinals, his career might be over, but remember that season he killed it. And Brandon Belt, who also, in the amount of games that he played, was a damn good hitter. So there were pieces from their championship core that were productive players that you could believe in. That's why I felt like that team was legitimate and not a farce. Those players aren't here anymore. And even though there are players that can, Chapman's got 20 home runs and 30 doubles this year. That's a pretty damn good season for anybody. But he's not Posey. He's not Curry. He's not even Crawford or Belt to a lot of people. So I do think that the name and the star power matters.
Well, when you look at the Giants, I mean, is it really that bleak if you look into the future? So if you go around their lineup, okay, Patrick Bailey. I mean, I don't know how good Patrick Bailey is going to be. I just know that right now he looks like a starting catcher. He's young. Obviously, he slumped in the last 40 to 50 at-bats. But you have a catcher, Patrick Bailey, correct?
Yes.
I mean, you're going to move forward with Patrick Bailey. You're going to move forward with Ramos. Okay, so those are two young players you have. Then you got Chapman, who's shown this year that he's exactly who you thought he was. And that is somebody who's great in the field and a professional hitter. They've got a pitching staff that could be one of the best in baseball if everybody's healthy. Now you got Tyler Fitzgerald. Is he the real deal? Well, I don't know if he's the real deal, but he's probably earned the right to be their starting shortstop for the foreseeable future into next year. I guess what I'm saying is, and Jung-Hoo Lee will be back next year, you would think, in center field, which would move Ramos to left field. That's not that bad. I mean, I'll just put it this way. That's not that bad, is it?
No,
like,
but
those 10, 12 guys who are your core, I get it. It's not murderer's row, but it's not terrible.
No, but what's the standard? Is the standard to be not terrible?
Well, I think the standard is to start improving. And can you improve with your young guys and these veterans that are producing, at least?
No, look, I agree that the next season probably looks a bit brighter than the last few. Because, and to me, it's because of the younger players. It's because you've finally been able to see a few of them actually do something at the big league level. But at the same time, if your expectation is just to, well, we'll give it a go. You know, let's look at the Golden State Warriors.
All right.
I'm looking at their roster, and I'm kind of with you. Like, they're not that bad. People don't want to hear you say, well, the Golden State Warriors ain't that bad. This is a team that's expected to compete for titles. It's a team that still has, yes, a 36-year-old, Steph Curry, but a player who just stole the Olympic stage in front of an international worldwide audience. People don't want to hear you say with that guy on the team, well, yeah, they're not that bad. They might be a little bit better than last year. People want to look at a team and say, that's what I'm going to see tonight. And I don't think there's enough of a standard right now for the Giants. Like, when I watch other teams around baseball, I kind of know what I'm going to get. It's why I asked you earlier, do you think that the Giants roster is better than, the Seattle Mariners?
Right.
Well, then the Giants have a better record than the Seattle Mariners. But my friends who root for the Mariners have far more faith in their team than it seems like the Giants fans do in theirs.
It feels to me, and we got Shasky here, who's a monster Giants fan. We got Lubman here, who's a monster Giants fan. We got Willard here, who's a monster Giants fan. And I'm gauging off their feelings. And it just feels like all three of those guys just aren't excited about this team. And, you know, Guru's Guru, and, you know, he'll pretend to like the Giants, and hey, I'm sure he likes them a little bit. But, you know, he seems to be more excited about the Giants than those guys. And you would think that if those guys believed in this team, they would be excited. It just doesn't feel like the Giants fans are invested in this team. And I'm wondering about the last 6 weeks of the year and what would need to happen. I mean, would they need to make a run and make the postseason? Here's what it almost feels like. It almost feels like some Giants fans are so feeling so lackluster about the team that they don't want them to succeed right now because it will ensure another year or two of Farhan and maybe another year or two of the status quo. But why?
But I don't think it's that they don't want the Giants to succeed. It's that they don't want to get their hopes up just to have them crushed again. Like, we've seen the Giants multiple times this year go on runs. They've won 7 of 9. You know, they've won at points, I think, 9 of 11. You know, they've played good 2 week stretches of baseball. They haven't played a good month of baseball.
Right.
Or an elite month of baseball to make you believe that this team could actually challenge for one of the three wild card spots. And to take it back to the beginning of this conversation, you're right. It is because players have been hurt. And it is because, you know, Snell hasn't been available. And right now, they might be playing their best baseball, but their best baseball isn't good enough. And I think a lot of people also believe that when they run into a good team again, they're going to get exposed. The same way a week ago, they were heading into the Braves series, and there was a 4-game opportunity to make up a lot of ground. And then they lost a 1-0 game. And then they lost in 10 innings the next night after. And then they got embarrassed in a game that was probably a must-win for them in regards to the tiebreaker. You know, I just don't think a lot of Giants fans want to go through that 3 and 4 times in a season. And so it's not that they don't want them to succeed. Like, if the Giants rattle off 9 in a row right now,
yeah,
I do think people would be happy. But I would challenge anybody to call in and tell me that they believe the Giants are going to win 9 in a row.
They're probably not. They're probably not.
They won't.
I mean, Travis on the YouTube chat, fire Farhan and we'll get excited again.
But that's what I think Giants fans have been relegated to. Just do something different.
Can't we wait till the end of the year?
Because the worst place...
Seriously.
Well, actually, there is a worse place to be than 500.
Yeah, the White Sox.
Yes.
Thank you. This isn't the NBA where they're going to get Wemby.
No, in fact, they might get the 6th overall pick because of the lottery system.
Oh, exactly. So, I'm not... People are laughing at me on the text line saying, hey, the Giants, they're not that bad. Well, and they're saying, that's great. They're not that bad. I don't know. I think they're achieving about what we thought they were going to achieve, given the circumstance that we knew Snell would get off to a slow start and Ray wasn't going to meet him or pitch till the middle of the year. I mean, I know... Listen, I'm the guy who comes on this station with Guru and says relax when he says they're 4 games out. And
3.5.
3.5. And do I think they're going to make the postseason? No, I do not think they're going to make the postseason. But they still have a chance. They're still over 500. And what we know about baseball from as recently as last year is... You can make stuff happen in baseball if you get there. And I don't know, if I were a Giants fan, I wouldn't be as, I don't know, I think I'd still have more hope than some people do. That's all.
Yeah, look, I watch the Giants every night. And it's because I love watching baseball. There's always something that you can learn about the game. There's something you see that can be special. I love watching Matt Chapman play defense. You know, I love watching Tyler Fitzgerald grow as a hitter. I love seeing, you know, the professional at-bats that Ramos is putting together. When I was at the Coliseum this weekend, I could not believe how far Elliot Ramos hit that baseball. Like, seriously, it threw me back 10 years to watching Yoenis Cespedes put a ball up in the suites in center field. That's why I watch the game, but that's not good enough for a lot of fans. You know, they also want to see their team win consistently. They want to see their team be good, and they want to see their team challenge for something. So, you know, I guess I would ask why people are watching the remainder of this season. Is it because they want the Giants to make the playoffs, or because they want to see the emergence of young players? Or are they not watching at all?
Or do they want to watch them not succeed so it forces the team into action? 888-957-9570 is the number. A lot of this has to do with, why do we need to make such a snap judgment on a player or on a team? I want to play some sound on the other side of two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it and who they think is among the great quarterbacks in today's game. And it sparked a discussion between Evan and I that I want to kind of start with next segment. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto line, apply today or just ask for First NorCal Finance at the dealer. Blake Snell, he stinks.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
This is stinking from the head up.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. And I just glanced up to my left. And
have a heart.
Glanced up to my left, and there looks to be some public programming about an adoption center that where you can adopt pets. And
yeah, it's a Manistee Freed.
I saw a young girl about 7 years old holding the worst pet of all time.
You need to let this go.
What's the worst pet of all time? Because I think I have the answer. The guinea pig.
Why would you say that?
The guinea pig is the worst pet you can own.
There's only one answer.
They're filthy. They're filthy.
Well, you keep them in a cage.
They're filthy. It doesn't matter. When they do their thing, you ever see a dog paw at the grass after they do their business?
Yeah, this morning.
They do the same with the shaved wood, and it gets all over the place outside. They stink. They don't really provide you a lot of comfort. They're not the kind of animals you hold for a long time. My kids had a guinea pig for about 7 days, and I said, get rid of it.
That's because you haven't had a rabbit. I don't know if they're from the same family.
My one daughter had a rabbit.
Yeah, rabbits are a-holes.
What?
Rabbits are mean, hurtful, emotionally damaging animals. They don't like anybody.
My daughter had a rabbit that they had for a while. They loved it. It would just come chill.
No, yeah, maybe we had different rabbits.
They didn't have to keep it in a cage.
Also, the chinchilla. The chinchilla is a very deceptive pet because they're so soft and they seem like they're cuddly, and then all they want to do is bite you.
Yeah. Worse than a snake, Steiny? Yes. Yes. Snake will just sit there. And it's fun. You know, snake eats a mouse. It's kind of fun.
It's got a little cool.
It's kind of fun.
You know what a snake could also eat? A guinea pig.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh.
Anyway, if you're a parent out there and your kid wants a pet, I can't encourage you enough to just go. Don't try to get cute. Get a dog. Get a dog.
Let's put the rat on the table. Also a bad pet.
I'd like to put the guinea pig on the table is what I'd like to do.
Can't put the guinea pig on the table. There's no bad pets. There's only bad owners.
Daughter also, another daughter, I don't even want to get into it. Talked me into a gecko.
How'd that
go? I don't know if it was a gecko or a lizard. It was one of those things. And the one thing.
Reptile.
The one thing they told her was, listen, if you get this lizard or gecko, just make sure once, you know, every day or every other day, you know, you take the lizard out and put him on your hand and let him know that you're a friend of his. And sure enough, we bought this lizard early April, and by the end of April, my daughter had never taken it out of the cage. And then we were afraid to clean the cage, and I said, it's time. Get it out of here. And we took that one back.
The 510 is with you. The only pet worse than a guinea pig is two guinea pigs that become seven guinea pigs.
Yeah, it's all bad. It's all bad.
I knew one named Ronald. He was pretty cool.
Ronald the guinea pig?
Yeah.
That's a good name for a guinea pig. Yeah, hamsters too.
See,
do without them.
I generally don't like animals that are named after humans. Like a human name for a pet. I
kind of like that.
I find a bit of inappropriate.
Oh. You don't like a dog named Fred?
Well, your dog, you know, it's Rosie.
Yeah.
But it's not named Roseanne.
No, we sometimes will say Rosarita.
Yeah. You need a nickname. I'm not going to call a dog Philip.
Hung Lu? I'm sorry. My boy Hung Lu?
Yes.
Is that Jung Hoo Lee? Is that who it was supposed
to
be?
No, that was his
buddy. Hung Lu?
Hung Lu.
Oh, no, that's his friend.
Yeah.
That's his buddy.
Hung Lu and Big Dex.
My daughter had a hedgehog. The hell's a hedgehog? I mean, it's like a gopher?
Sonic, the hedgehog.
Yeah.
But that, I've heard of that. But
a little spiky. But really soft underbellies.
Very fast. They collect a lot of coins, too.
They're really...
What did I miss?
It's from a video game. It's a reference.
A Sonic the Hedgehog.
You actually should get it. I mean, Sonic was, you know, pre-millennia.
I remember that video game. All right, here's what we're going to talk about.
The original video game.
You turned me on to this sound. So it's Tom Brady on Stephen A. Smith's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And
you better be careful.
He asked Tom Brady. You got to listen to the whole thing.
Speaking of pets, he's the goat.
Because that's not bad. This was in front of a live audience. And Brady was asked, hey, you know, who's, wait a minute, where is, oh, there it is. Who are your top quarterbacks? In the NFL, and Evan and I had a discussion after this, but take a listen. This is Tom Brady. He knew a little thing about playing quarterback.
Top five quarterbacks in the National Football League right now would have been Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes being number one. Give me 2, 3, 4, and 5.
I think consistently well, the guys that I see Josh Allen as someone who's always impresses me as a player. I see Lamar Jackson who always impresses me as a player. Probably have different moments, but Joe Burrow is very impressive the way he goes along with his team. Again, another guy who's got a great connection with his teammates. And then I think I'll leave it to those four.
I'm going to throw Aaron Rodgers in there.
Oh, of course.
So I don't know if you heard, but about halfway through his list, a fan in the audience said, Brock Purdy. And Brady didn't pay him any mind. And he instead said Mahomes, Burrows, Rodgers, Jackson, Josh Allen.
Well, he always said Rodgers, and this wouldn't be a Stephen A. Smith show if he didn't interject with his own opinion.
Right.
Because Brady was having trouble with the fifth selection, and Stephen A. says at the end, I would throw Rodgers in there. And Brady goes, yeah, sure.
Don't be disrespectful.
So I figured something out, and I'm interested to know what 49er fans think, because Nahegian said, do 49er fans really care if Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning had his five and he didn't have Brock Purdy on it. He had Justin Herbert on it instead of, I forget who, Rodgers or somebody.
Yeah.
But
they were virtually unanimous.
Right. So Brock Purdy's name doesn't come up. And Nahegian goes, people really care that Brock Purdy's name didn't come up or doesn't come up in the top five or six. And my thought is, why should they be mad about it? And here's my point. This has nothing to do with bias of the San Francisco 49ers.
Why would you say that?
I'll tell you exactly why. I can tell you what the whole thing is. For the people that feel like Brock Purdy does not get the credit that he deserves, it is for one reason and one reason only. It's not because he was drafted in the seventh round. It's not because there's a perception out there that the Niners have so many weapons that Purdy's not really that good, but he just plays on a great team. The reason that nobody has elevated Brock Purdy to those kind of heights in terms of where he ranks in terms of the quarterbacks in the NFL, to me, is for one reason and one reason only. He's played 21 regular season games. He's played a year and a half of football. That's the only, he doesn't have the track record. He doesn't have the resume of anybody else. I get it.
He's got a better resume than some of those.
It's an abbreviated resume, though. It's a good resume, but it's abbreviated. Nobody's going to put Purdy in the top five or maybe even the top eight because they're going to put a quarterback on that list who at least has been a quarterback for 4 or 5 years and has proven himself over that time, especially guys like Brady and Manning, who've seen a million quarterbacks come and go. And it's not a slight on Brock Purdy, but it's led me to believe, you know what? This is why, yes, Brock Purdy still has a lot to prove. A lot. And this is the year that is the transition year, to me, between a quarterback who doesn't have much of a track record in terms of games played, even though he's had success in those brief amount of games. If he has another great year this year, has a really good year, then I think we're going to start talking about him the way they talk about the top five or six or eight quarterbacks. To me, it's just, he just hasn't done it long enough yet. And listen, I'm not saying what he's done hasn't been impressive, but why can't we just say it? He's been a quarterback for a year and a half. Yes, we need to see more.
But there have been quarterbacks across history that have been recognized as extremely good, if not top five, after a year and a half. There's one who's playing right now. He's the unanimous choice at the top of the list.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mahomes played one game his rookie year.
Yeah.
Then played the entire next season.
Won the MVP.
Won the MVP.
Made the AFC Championship game.
Made the AFC Championship game.
Lost to Brady.
Okay.
At the end of that year, going into the next year, Patrick Mahomes was a top five quarterback. I'm not sitting here and telling you that Brock Purdy is a top five quarterback, but what my takeaway was from when I heard that, and I'll get to Brady in a moment, Brock Purdy, by the national media, by some of the local media even, by NFL greats, he'll never be recognized as a top five quarterback in this league.
Ever?
That's what I hear.
You see, I would never say that. And like, that's kind of my point. And I'll bring the Giants in here. What is this? And I listen, I do it too.
The fascination with being the best at your profession?
No, the fascination. And again, I do it too at times. But the fascination with trying to make a grand statement when it's not time to make a grand statement. And I'll use the Giants. Like, they're not done. You can say they stink. You can say they're going nowhere. But why would you say that when they have a shot at it? Brock Purdy, what is the benefit of saying right now, oh, Brock Purdy's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? He hasn't done it long enough. Let's wait. Let's just wait a year or so. You know what I mean?
But he's not one of the best top five, one of the best quarterbacks, according to Brady and Manning. They just told you.
Right. It's because what they've seen in the first year and a half isn't enough for him to supplant guys who have done it for 5 or 6 years, or 4 years in Herbert's case.
Well, but Justin Herbert has been to one playoff game. He has I think, at or if not sub-500 record as a regular season quarterback. Lamar Jackson, you know how many playoff victories he has?
I think two.
Yes.
Okay.
Purdy has double that. And I'm not saying that Brock Purdy is better than either of those two quarterbacks that I just named, but those two quarterbacks were taken by Brady and Manning, Lamar unanimously between them, as top five quarterbacks in the game. My thing is, Purdy has already accomplished more than a lot of really, really good quarterbacks. And yet this entire season, we'll hear people say, C.J. Stroud is better than Brock Purdy. In fact, if you look at most, I don't know, quarterback rankings, whatever, however much you take from them, you'll see C.J. Stroud is higher than him. Yeah, I think by the end of this season or midway through this season, you'll probably see people ranking Caleb Williams higher than Brock Purdy because they believe in him more. And what I hear from Tom Brady is interesting to me because he was one of the most doubted quarterbacks for the majority of his career. It took this guy winning 3 MVPs, 7 Super Bowls, and I want to say it took until he won his 3rd for people to recognize him as one of the greats. You know, I remember listening to Ross Tucker talk to you guys at the Super Bowl, and he kind of compared Purdy to Brady, not from a skill standpoint, but from the standpoint of people were still doubting how good he was as a quarterback 10 years in his career. Is Brock Purdy never going to be a top five quarterback? That was a blanket statement. But my point is that it's going to take something unbelievable for him to achieve. It's going to take him winning multiple Super Bowls. It might take him winning multiple MVPs. It's going to take something that we would grant to Herbert or to Lamar or to even Josh Allen, who doesn't have the postseason success that Purdy does. We just put them in the category because we believe in them, because what we can see, what we evaluate, tells us that they're great. I don't think people are ever going to get to that point with Brock Purdy. Now, does that matter? Well, apparently not, because he's been to an NFC Championship game and a Super Bowl already in less than 2 full seasons. I just don't think, again, this is where my mind went.
Right.
People are not going to recognize him in that group that we just heard from Tom Brady. It just isn't going to happen.
Okay. What about another group that includes C.J. Stroud?
Oh, and Jordan Love for that.
Jordan Love.
People will tell you that, at least from what I'm reading, people are telling me that C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, and Caleb Williams are all better than Brock Purdy.
See, that to me is ridiculous because that to me is where track record does come in. And I can't put either of those guys above Brock Purdy until maybe the end of this season if they follow up their great rookie seasons or real good rookie seasons with another good year. And Brock Purdy doesn't have another good year. Then I think we can start talking about it. But, I mean, why is C.J. Stroud above Brock Purdy in terms of quarterback rankings by a lot of people?
Because Houston was not expected to do what they did last year, and he was the driving force behind it.
Okay. And that's kind of my point about football, too. Willard comes in here yesterday and says, I wish I could remember. What did he say? He said, how many times in the NFL have more than half the division winners repeated? I know, it's tough, but it's only happened like... It's only got like three... It's happened two or three times. So, in a league like football, where we all acknowledge it's year to year, and injuries happen, and guys improve, and guys regress, that's why it's tough to break in to the top eight quarterbacks, because I think you're going to have to do it for 4 or 5 years. And I think that's the only thing working against Purdy. No, I shouldn't say the only thing, but I actually think it's the biggest thing working against Purdy, as opposed to he's in Kyle Shanahan's system, so he won't get the credit that other quarterbacks get because Kyle's considered more of a, I don't know, offensive guru that puts his quarterback in a better position to succeed than others.
I agree with that. My point is that if there was somebody in the game now that is an analyst that would have Purdy in that category as one of the elite quarterbacks, I think it would be Brady, because he's the only guy that can associate with Brock's position more so than anybody else. I mean, like Peyton Manning, look, Peyton Manning's the number one overall pick. Peyton Manning has been the most highly touted prospect probably his entire life. Peyton Manning, from the time he was born, was just expected to be great and was born into a football family, and his father played in the NFL and was a legend at Ole Miss, and his brother Eli was a great college quarterback and won multiple Super Bowls. Like, Manning, that makes sense to me. Because, and Manning's also, and this is another part of it too, which I'll get to in a moment, but Brady was Mr. Irrelevant before Mr. Irrelevant. He was the 199th pick or whatever. He was the guy that no one expected to be as great as he was. And he told everyone to go F themselves. And so when I hear him not give credence to Purdy or not put him in that category, I feel like if there was someone that was going to do it, it would be him. And that's why I believe that it's going to be it's going to be more difficult for him than any of his peers that are at the accomplishment, that have the resume that he has. It's going to be the hardest for Purdy to crack that top five or even top 10. I don't know where people rank him, but it's just harder for him to do because of doubt, because of his surrounding, and because he'll just never pass people's eye test.
Couldn't you say the same thing about a Jeff Garcia? And I'm not saying Jeff Garcia was a top five quarterback, but I think he was a quarterback who, the more we saw him, the more appreciation we had for him, because he was smart and he was mobile and he made all the throws he needed to make. I just don't understand why people would get upset that Purdy's not getting the credit that he should, when he's only done it for a year and a half. It's like, in order to be considered, you know, to me, if Brock Purdy is good, the 49ers are going to be good for a while. And that's why, to me, this year, and the more I think about it, the more I know this bothers people, but does Brock Purdy have anything to prove? Yes. He has a lot to prove. He's got to prove that he's the same quarterback or better than he's been for the last 2 years. And my question would be, what if he doesn't this year? What if we notice a tick down? Just a tick. And you even said it. You think that there's a chance that his numbers may not be as good this upcoming year.
Well, I think it's going to be really hard to put up better numbers than he did last year.
31-11.
He was the most efficient quarterback in the NFL last year. That's hard to repeat. My point is not that he's going to have to prove it. I believe Purdy does have something to prove. And he would tell you that, I'm sure. But in order to be in the same class as the quarterbacks, again, that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are discussing, he's going to have to do it again. And then he's going to have to do it again. And then he's going to have to do it again and again and again, just like Brady did to be finally recognized among his peers as the best or one of the best at his position. He had Manning 3-0 in terms of Super Bowls after what, his first 4 or 5 seasons?
Yeah.
People were still saying that Peyton Manning was a better quarterback than Tom Brady. That's what I think that Purdy is up against. And that I don't think is going away, especially when I hear someone that is in his or was in his situation telling us so. Tom Brady is telling us, yeah, Purdy's not among the elite. And if there was somebody that was going to put him there, I think it'd be him.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. We can let it there, as they say. Coming up on the other side, we're hoping to get Rick Barry to join us. If you haven't heard, there's some sad news today. Alvin Attles, longtime Warrior. He's with the Golden State Warriors organization for 64 years as a player, a coach, a GM, a member of their front office, ambassador. He passed yesterday in the East Bay at 87 years old, led the Warriors as a coach to the 1975 NBA title. He's in the Hall of Fame, and we're trying to pay him the respect that he deserves today. So hopefully Rick Barry will join us on the other side. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment was brought to you by Floor and Decor.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.